Okay, so Kuf Samach Tes is a very, the primary thing we're going to talk about in the siman, there are some other topics, is a very broad shaila that comes up all the time. The question of giving someone food to eat who we know isn't going to make a bracha. And this relates to lots of other questions like inviting Shabbos guests who you presume are going to drive, and other types of shailas that come up frequently when interacting with non-observant people. So we're going to address the particularly local question, but then hopefully also the broader questions. So to begin with the local question, the Rama writes in Siman Kuf Samach Gimel Sif Beis, the Asr Lahachil Ami Shalom Natal Yadav, Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol. You may not give food to someone who hasn't washed properly. It's a violation of Lifnei Iver. And likewise, in our Siman, we paskin Lo Yitein Lechol Elo Ami Shiyodeya Bo Shivarech. You may not give food to someone who you know is not going to make a bracha. And again, Kuf Samach Tes Sif Aleph and Sif Beis Vaser Litein Lo Prusas Pas El Im Kain Yodeya Shenatal Yadav Lo Yitein Lechol El Lamish Yodeya Bo Shivarech. Now, Agav, it's sort of interesting that we seem to only be focused on the bracha rishona. Doesn't say anything about bracha achrona. You may not give food to someone who is not going to wash or who hasn't made a bracha rishona, and we'll talk about how we know that, but don't seem to be bothered by giving food to someone who's not going to make a bracha achrona, which oftentimes is even a more common shaila. Sometimes people are remember to make a bracha rishona, but not a bracha achrona. So I saw that the Tshuvos v'Hanhagos Chelek Beisim and Kuf Lamed Ches notes this. And he says that maybe we're only makbet about bracha rishona because that's like machilo davar asr. It's like giving him something non-kosher. It's asr to eat without a bracha, so you're giving him treif. But the fact that he's not going to make a bracha achrona, we're not so makbid. And regarding that, we're going to say adai to dinashe avid. And this is a chiluk that we're going to see comes up in many questions of our siman. To what degree do we say something is asr either because of lifnei iver or misayaya? And to what degree do we say, no, this was his own personal decision? Lemashal, we'll see a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein about someone who has a social hall. For a while, I couldn't read the word. It's like social spelled with a samach and the like that I figured out what it was. So somebody has a social hall. He wants to know, is he allowed to rent it to someone who's going to have mixed dancing? What about if you have a store? So you sell only kosher food, but you're selling meat and cheese to someone who you know is going to eat them together. So what degree of achrayas do we have? And that's going to be a very broad question. So perhaps, again, what Sternbach is suggesting is that when it comes to a bracha rishona, we're much more concerned because that's more direct. Even though, is it really more direct? Well, it's more immediate, but that perhaps is one of the factors. So that's just a parenthetical hara. His lashon over there is umeata, so you should be more mizares about bracha rishona. So where does this also get started? It's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says that you're not allowed to give a piece of bread to a Jew who didn't wash, and even if you feed him directly into his mouth, still it's aser because he's chayv in netilas yadayim. Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos writes, "Yesh lemeidin mikan she'ein reshai lases lechol el lemi sheyodei abo shivarek v'nira shekevan shemiskaven lasos mitzvah shenosein b'toras stakamuter." So Rabbeinu Yonah A derives a tremendous iser from this Gemara, that just like you can't give bread to someone who didn't wash, so too you can't give food to someone who's not going to make a bracha rishona. But then he has a exception. And the exception is tzedaka. And the question is, why is tzedaka an exception? And indeed, Rabbeinu Yonah in our siman Kuf Samach Tes is very bothered by this. Why should it be that Tzedakah is an exception? First of all, if you're going to say that doing a mitzvah is an exception, so whenever you're giving somebody food, even if it's not tzedakah, that's a form of a mitzvah, isn't it? Your chesed. So therefore, the Mechaber over here paskins that you can't give someone food unless you know they're going to make a bracha. And he doesn't seem to hold a Rabbeinu Yonah's exception. But the Rama does. The Rama paskins Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says that you could be mekel for tzedakah. So the question is why? Why is it mutter for tzedakah? After all, you're not allowed to do lifnei iver for the purposes of tzedakah, presumably. Let's say somebody comes to you for tzedakah that you know doesn't keep kosher. The only food you happen to have is non-kosher food. So are you allowed to give them non-kosher food? Again, they're not starving or anything like that. So, presumably not. So what's the difference?
Is that tzedakah in the first place?
I'm sorry?
Would that be considered tzedakah in the first place? I mean,
well, so it's a simple kosher? Good. So this, why is this tzedakah? In other words, you're harming the guy. You're causing him to do an aveira. Is that tzedakah either?
No, but you're giving him something. I mean, I feel like there's a chiluk between those cases.
Okay, so maybe that's the chiluk. But still, if it's lifnei iver, you're not. There's no justification. So you're correct. So let me make my make the Beis Yosef's question a little more precise. There's no justification to do something that would be normally considered lifnei iver for the purposes of fulfilling the mitzvah tzedakah. This would not be, presumably, a valid application of something like aseh docha lo saseh. So why is it mutter? That's the Beis Yosef's kasha. So on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, we find three answers to this. The Bach, the Magen Avraham, / Taz, and the Prima Gadim. So we'll start with the Bach. The Bach over here, at the Maschel Ba'aser, says that actually, yes, the mitzvah of tzedakah docha, the iser of lifnei iver, V'afilu yodeya bo shehu am ha'aretz gamor v'lo yivarech klal lo mipnei kach yivatel mitzvah tzedakah. Sounds like an achanami. We're going to talk about in a moment whether this is actually full-fledged lifnei iver, is it misayaya, but he's simply saying that, yes, if this is in order to fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah, it's okay. And if that's the case, we have to figure out what is the nekudas ha'machlokas between the Bach and the Beis Yosef. Magen Avraham, Sifkat and Vav, and Taz agree fundamentally with the kasha of the Beis Yosef. They agree that if he was certainly not going to make a bracha, then you would not be allowed to give it. And even Rabbeinu Yonah would agree. And when Rabbeinu Yonah was matir, it's a case where he might not make a bracha. And that's because tzedakah is a mitzvah saseh. So, ein safik motzi midei vade, the way the Taz puts it in Sifkat and Gimel, the Nira Taimo, the reason for Rabbeinu Yonah is the mitzvah tzedakah hi vadai, the safek im yitol yadav ve'ein, safek motzi midei vadai. So that's the principle. But everybody would agree, Rabbeinu Yonah would agree to Beis Yosef that it was vadai you couldn't give him. And the Aruch HaShulchan paskins this way. He writes, the tzedakah v'mitzvah saseh v'tzarach liten lo, ve'enu yachol la'akev hanesina, Mipnei ha-safek, shama lo yivarech. De'ein safek motzi midei vadai. V'zeu rak ba-motzi, aval b'netil s'yadayim, ha-tzach li tomi koda. V'im ein yodaya, vadai shemekaba lo yivarech, aser. Sorry, v'chein im yodaya vadai shemekaba lo yivarech, aser. Afilu be'enei ha-magen avram, v'chein yesh lahoros. So the Aruch HaShulchan Paskin, Salach Lamaisa, if he's vadai not going to make a bracha, aser. It's a safek. So then it's mutter. And the third approach is the Prima Gadim. It's Eshel Avram, Sifkatan Vav. He learns like the Bach, if it's a Safik. In other words, in a sense, he combines the Bach and the Magen Avram / Taz. And the point is that, but he makes a very important kinnich. He says, we have to distinguish between if he's not making the Bracha because of Rishus or because of Chisaron Yediyah. If he's not making the bracha because of rishus, so then he may not give him. Then Rabbeinu Yonah is right. Beis Yosef's wrong. But if it's just chisaron yediyah plus it's a safek, then it's mutter. He writes, "Umibach mashma af shi yodeya shelo yivarech shehu am haaretz lo yivatol mitzvah tzedaka yesh lomar davka ba'am haaretz ha machmas rishus lo yitein lo And this is also the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatan Yud Aleph. He writes, "Delo mafki inan mitzvah staka b'shvil shash, shema lo yivarech. Af agav degabe shamesh b'sifak kodem chayshinan, hasam, hanesina lo lav v'tart staka, ho shenosein lo bavur shishim shom." If it's coming to a shamesh, it's not staka, just it's like a tip maybe. So then you may not. Achim yodeh b'vadeh shol yivarech, asr li ten lo, af b'tart staka, b'davka, imitoch rish ato, aval, imitoch onso, shenu yachol levarech, lo nafka mitzvah staka b'shvil zeh. So it seems like the Mishnah Berurah's psak and the Prima Gadin psak is as follows. If you know he's not going to make a bracha, but it's a mitzvah, and B, his lack of bracha is not because of rishos, then it's a mutter. That's what I meant. I think I said it incorrectly the first time. That's what I meant to say. It's a combination of the bach and the, if you wish. It's taking the idea of the bach, saying stakas docha, but only, the mitzvah of stakas docha, but only when it's not machmas rishos. So in a minute or two, we'll see how Rav Moshe explains the lamdos of this Prima Gadim, of this Mishnah Berurah. Now, in practice, a lot of times you might be able to avoid the question, like by being motzi him in the bracha. So it doesn't always work, but let's say he's coming and you want to give him some food. So you take some food also, and you say the bracha out loud. Say, "I'm going to be motzi you in the bracha," or something like that. And again, oftentimes, when we're not talking about someone who is doing it altruishus, so he might not make the bracha on his own, but you could be motzi. So obviously, if you can avoid the question, you should. The Bir Halacha, interestingly, adds that even if it's not in the meal, you're just cooking the food, it might also be asr. Okay, so Rav Moshe writes as follows, and this gets back to our question that we asked at the beginning. How direct does this have to be, right? And this is true in many of these questions. So this is Rav Moshe in Or Chaim Chelakei Simen Yud Gimel. And he says that there is no isser to allow him to take on his own whatever he wants to eat. In other words, if I say, take whatever you want, and then he goes and takes, that's okay. Even though he wouldn't have taken had you not given him permission. That's very different than giving it to him. The Iker Shaila that we're dealing with in our Simen is giving it to him. And it's very relevant. Let's say, do you have to worry about putting out refreshments, something like that? When you put out refreshments, so you're not giving anybody food, though you're certainly allowing them to take. And Rav Moshe sounds like he thinks that that would not be a violation. His Lashon over there is, L'harsho solikach ba'atzmo ma'she yirtze le'chol l'ishtos leka iser. It's already a different shiloh. Just giving it to him is a shiloh of lift me'iver, but once you just allow him to take, then stopping him from taking is not obligatory of lift me'iver. So what's the mechayev? The mechayev is hocheach tochiach. And when it comes to the mitzvah of tochacha, if you know he wouldn't accept the tochacha, then you don't have to be mochiachim. And therefore, there are limitations in the mitzvah of tochacha. There are many types of situations where the mitzvah of tochacha wouldn't apply. And therefore, once it's just putting it out, it's only a shayla of tochacha, and therefore the laws are going to be more lenient. Now, I mentioned to you last time, I'll just tell you again, a number of the Mar Makomos that I got for this year, not all of them, but some of them are from a very excellent Sefer called The Laws of Outreach by Rabbi Avram Edelstein. And he talks about this in, he's a whole chapter on this in Perek Ches, but really the main place where he talks about the Dinim of Lifnei Iver are in Perek Vav of that Sefer. Okay. So to really better understand what we should do, Lamaisa, we have to look into the sugya of lifnei iver. And we have to start with a very fundamental chakira about the nature of lifnei iver. When we look at the Chazal, we really find two aspects of the mitzvah. The first is not to give a person bad advice. Rashi, for example, on the Pasuk in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yodalet Vayikra says, lifnei iver lo sitein mechol, lifnei hasuma bedavar, lo titein etza she'en haguna lo, al tomar mechor sadcha, ukach lecha, chamor, vata okeif Allah v'not lemena. So don't give bad advice. The second is not to be an accomplice in an avera. And this, among other places, is seen in Avodah Zarah, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Minayin Shelo Yoshed Adam Klos Yayin LaNazir, Ve'Ever Menachai Leven Noach, Tam Lomar V'Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechol. And the question is, are these really two things, or are they the same thing? Are there two aspects to the mitzvah, or are they one? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a number of tshuvos, argues that there are two aspects of the mitzvah. Take a look at Igros Moshe, the one, first of all, that I just told you, Chelek He, Simen Yud Gimel. He says this in Dibros Moshe, Shabbos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Beis, Anaf Beis, Igros Moshe, Yaredeya, Chelek Aleph, Simen Gimel. Rav Moshe holds that there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver, or let's say it like this. The Isser of Lifnei Iver, when you're machshil someone in a chait, and the lifnei iver of ben adam l'chavero are two different dinim, and they're both. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's a ben adam l'makom avera and a ben adam l'chavero avera. But sometimes, even if it's not a ben adam l'chavero avera, it's still aser ben adam l'makom. Why? Because you're causing a chait to happen. Even if it's not ben adam l'chavero, and we'll give examples. He has a number of rayas for this. I'll just mention one of the rayas. One of the rayas is the din, is the halacha. When it comes to ribis de rabbanan, so ribis de rabbanan is aser de rabbanan. Ribis de oraisa is obviously aser de oraisa, but you violate many yisurim d'oraisa when you do ribis d'oraisa. And one of them is the lav of lifnei iver. So I would think that if I do ribis d'rabbanan, I have still violated lifnei iver mid'oraisa, because I am causing him to do an iser d'rabbanan, but that should be lifnei iver d'oraisa. So why isn't it? Why isn't ribis d'rabbanan a violation of d'oraisa lifnei iver? So you have to say, says Rav Moshe, that there's two inyanim in lifnei iver. One, I'll use his lashon, hamachshil beguf hu me'inyan ben adam l'chavero. So aver shben adam l'chavero, like literally a stumbling block or bad advice or the like. And the second is when you're machshil be'iser, that's ben adam l'makom, that's aser lasos nechshal, dechet ba'olam. That's ben adam l'makom. And memela, if you're going to get him to do an iser d'oraisa, then it's lifnei iver d'oraisa. If it's an iser d'rabbanan, it will be lifnei iver d'rabbanan. And our sugya is a nafkamina. Why? In our case, you want to do the mitzvah tzedakah, or chesed, or kiruv, or chokim, or whatever it is, you know that he's not going to make a bracha. So maybe you're over on lifnei iver. Now, like we said, the pashtus is you're not allowed to violate lifnei iver to be mekayim the mitzvah. And even though achila without a bracha is an iser d'rabbanan, still, you're not allowed to do it, even if it's going to cause an iser d'rabbanan. But maybe you'll say, no, that's, you know, this person not making a bracha is, you know, he's not going to be punished for that. He's a tinok shenishba, let's say, right? So maybe we'll even imagine that his averos are like ones. Now, Rav Moshe says that's not exactly true, because he notes that you bring even a tinok shenishba has to bring a karban chatas. Maybe only one karban chatas, but he has to bring a karban chatas. So we can't really say it's not an aver at all. But still, he's not going to, it's like nanas, We're not going to really say he's going to be punished because, you know, there's no reason why he should have known better. This person, he was never taught, let's say, to say brachos. He never heard of a bracha. We can't say he's going to be punished for his lack of saying a bracha. So is there a bein adam lemakom aspect here? No. Bein adam l'chaveiro aspect over here? No. There's no bein adam l'chaveiro aspect over here. You are not harming him because he's not going to be punished for this aveira because there's no reason why he should have known better. But Rav Moshe says the second din is still relevant because his aveira is a shame aveira. The haraya, like we said, he has to bring a karban chatas. The tinok shenishpas bring a karban chatas. Yeah, he's not punished, but he has to bring a karban chatas. And therefore, you're causing an aveira to happen. And therefore, the bein adam lemakom is still relevant. In other words, again, there's two aspects. One is bein adam lechaveiro. If somebody is, not a tinok shenishba, so then you're doing both things. Number one, by giving him food that he's not going to make a bracha, you're harming him, right? And number two is you're causing an aveira to happen. But in this case, you're not harming him, but you're still facilitating an aveira. And therefore, the second aspect of lifnei iver is still here. So that's Rav Moshe's argument. So let's say it appears to you that it's in the best interest of this individual to do an aveira. For example, someone who is not yet from, but you hope to bring him closer to Torah, and eating is involved. So it's true. Well, he was out of bracha, but it's best for him. So clearly, again, there's no first category of lifnei iver. Lifnei iver will not apply because you're not harming him. You're helping him. The bein adam l'chaveiro component of lifnei iver is certainly not true over here. But Rav Moshe says there's still a second component of the iser. L'maisa, you're causing an aver to take place. So that's the way Rav Moshe thinks. So Rav Moshe thinks, basically, that there is no heter, where he's vadai going to violate, right? Like the Magen Avraham, like the Taz, against the Bach. But he notes that the Mishnah Berurah seems to be mekel, because the Mishnah Berurah over here, Sifkaton Yudalev, quotes the Prima God, Meshal Avraham, Sifkaton Vav, who says that it's mutter when you're doing the mitzvah of tzedaka. And presumably, like the Prima Gadim says, like the Mishnah Berurah says, he's talking about a case where he's not making a bracha because of rishus. So what the Prima Gadim, what the Mishnah Berurah is basically saying is that no, there's only one aspect to the Isser. There's only the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspect. And therefore, if the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspect isn't relevant, then there's no Lifnei Iver. So certainly, Rav Moshe says, if it's mutter, according to Mishnah Berurah, for the mitzvah of tzedaka, so kavachomer, it's going to be mutter l'karva l'torah. That's even greater. Tzedaka, you're helping him in olam hazeh. Here, you're helping him olam hazeh and olam haba. So, what's the logic of the Prima Gadim? What's the logic of the Mishnah Berurah? Rav Moshe says, it all depends on how you understand the nature of the mitzvah or the isser of lifnei iver. The Prima Gadim, the Magen Avraham Taz, let's say, certainly the Mechaber, maybe, they all hold that there's two aspects of the din of lifnei iver. There's a bein adam l'chaveiro aspect, there's an bein adam l'makom aspect. The bein adam l'makom says that anytime you're facilitating a aveira, then it's aser, regardless of whether you're harming or not harming the person. What does the Mishnah Berurah / Prima Gadim hold? They hold, really, it's only one. In other words, this chakira is incorrect. The reason why it's true, the halacha is you can't cause someone to do an aveira, but why is that? Why is that normally, lifnei iver? Because you're harming him. But if you're not harming him, you're helping him. So then there's not only no bein adam l'chaveiro aspect, but there's also no bein adam l'makom aspect because there's only one geder, right? Yeah, there's these two makoros, two manifestations in Chazal of lifnei iver. One which is bein adam l'chaveiro, and the other one which seems like bein adam l'makom. No, the emphasis is they're both bein adam l'makom. Sorry, they're both bein adam l'chaveiro. I can't I can't cause him to slip and fall. That's Bin Adam L'Chaveiro. And I can't cause him to do an Avera. That's also Bin Adam L'Chaveiro. Because if he does an Avera, he's harming himself. It's like slipping and falling. There's just one aspect. So that's the machlokas between the Mishnah Brura and we'll say the Magen Avraham. So,
how do we pass the last basis, then
so just 1 second. Yeah. Go ahead.
So the Mitzvah of Arvus does not apply here? That if he does an Avera, you're even though he's a teen of Shanishba, so you are...
No, Adirabba. First of all, we already said that there's no onesh here for his not doing Avera. And second of all, from the perspective of Arvus, your inclination would have been fakert. Like, overall, this is going to be, hopefully bring him to do more mitzvahs. So how does Rav Moshe paskin? So he says an interesting thing. He thinks that it's asar, but harot se lahakal kafi shemash meshechriya Mishnah Brura. You want to follow the Mishnah Brura? You could be samech on him. Why? Ki harehu maran d'doros basrai v'horaos d'inyanei orachayim. Okay. In other words, Rav Moshe says I can't tell you not to paskin like the Mishnah Brura. I don't think the Mishnah Brura is right, but I'm not going to tell you. Somebody who wants to follow the Mishnah Brura, that's okay. So just to summarize before we go on. According to Rav Moshe, there are two components of the mitzvah, two separate ideas. The first component, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The second component, Bein Adam L'Makom, which means that you can't be an accomplice to an Avera. And it's a prohibition between you and Hashem. And therefore, anytime you cause an Avera to happen, that's a violation of Lifnei Iver. Then we have the view of the Mishnah Brura. The two components of the Avera, really two sides of one coin. They're both Bein Adam L'Chaveiro to not harm a person through your actions. And therefore, since they're basically two sides of the same coin or two overlapping mitzvos, however you want to put it, so memela, if the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro isn't relevant, like let's say in the case of the Tinok Shenishba, especially where you're hopefully bringing him closer to Torah, then the Bein Adam L'Makom wouldn't as well. So that is Rav Moshe's presentation. Yes, Yosef.
Two questions. One, ultimately this means a person is making a certain yocheshbon about what is going to be good for this person, right?
Well, you're making your best guess. I mean, you mean if you follow the Mishnah Brura, not following the
correct. Mishnah. If you follow the Mishnah Brura, because then a person is weighing out, mitzvot skalos, mitzvot chamuros.
You have to do your
which
best.
Which we certainly don't do, at least if, it means me being over on
mitzvot skalos. Well, we do it all the time for Bein Adam L'Chaveiro.
But for me to be over on a mitzvah kala rather than my friend.
You're not being over on a mitzvah kala. No, that's the whole point. We're not saying you violate a mitzvah kala. So he won't, adarabba. When it comes to there, we might paskin, this is a machlokas harishonim, but we probably paskin that you shouldn't do a small avera to save someone from a big avera. Mm-hmm. That's not what's going on. That's totally missing the point. Rav Moshe doesn't say that's what the Mishnah Brura holds. Rav Moshe is saying that the Mishnah Brura holds that the whole thing is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you're always weighing two things. What is going to help the person more? Or what's going to hurt them less, right? Someone goes ahead and, asks you for food. So you have to think about, am I going to give this to them or not? Is this going to harm them or hurt them? Let's say it's junk food. Maybe you think, I don't know. They're hungry on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's very bad for them, right? Whenever you're dealing with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you're always trying to think of the other person, think what's best for the other person and help them in that way. So once you classify Lifnei Iver as Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, so then, again, it's always going to be practically simple to figure out what to do. A lot of times in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you don't know what's best for the person. How do I help them? Do I help them to give them into their demands? Somebody asked for tzedakah, but that the money you give them is going to might harm them in the long run. So, that's always a tricky question, but still we know how to handle that type of question because it's a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvah. Yeah. So that's the way Rav Moshe understands the Mishnah Brura. Okay. Let's turn to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He writes that the following: when you have a situation of safek misayeya l'dvar aveira, so the Chazon Ish is makel in a place where if we were machmir, it would cause other averos that are more chamor, like sinna. So the Chazon Ish is talking about shvius, and I'll read you his lashon. This is shvius simen yud base os tes again in the Chazon Ish. Mishum de imbanu lahachmir besfekos. If we're machmir and sfekos about selling somebody certain things, let's say kalim or perish with kedusha shvia or whatever, well, you can't sell them, but in other situations, maybe ulcer base and whatever it is, you want to know if you can sell somebody something. And why wouldn't you want to sell it to them? Or why wouldn't you want to give it to them? Very simple. Because you're a choshesh, they are not going to use it properly. So should you do it or not? Should you sell them or not? Should you refuse certain customers that you expect might not keep the halachos properly? So the Chazon Ish says, no, you shouldn't sell. You shouldn't refuse. You should sell it to them. Why? Because let's say we're going to be machmir. We're going to be machmir. Say, I'm not going to sell it to you because you might come to use violate dinei shvius, right? But what's the result going to be? They're going to hate us. They're going to say bad things about us. They're going to say lashon hara about us. There's going to be a chilul Hashem or a bad, let's even not call it a chilul Hashem because you're just trying to follow the halacha. So it won't be a chilul Hashem, but it will be it will lead to sinas Yisrael. And that's a terrible thing. So, and therefore he writes, v'chayavim anu lach yosem ulehetiv imam, even if they're amei haaretz. The kol shekein, shechayavim anu laharbos, lo laharbos sinna, the tacharus beinenu beinehem. V'ovrim alosisna, the od kamalavim, shenisturin kalme iser zeh, Sha'anu ba'in lahatzil osam nimenu. So yeah, we're trying to save them from an iser kal, right? But we're being machshil them in an iser chamor. What iser chamor? Sina. So therefore, better to sell it to them, even though they might not keep the halachos properly, than to refuse to sell it to them and be machshil them in sina. Okay. The Chazon Ish sounds like he's only being makel when it's a suffix whether they'll keep the law. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach takes this idea and he says he thinks it's true. And this is, by the way, Chelek Aleph of Mincha Shlomo Siman Lamed Hei. He thinks it's true, even if they're vaday going to be over. Like a guest comes to your house, a chash of a guest, and he's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So you know for sure he's not going to make a bracha, right? But if you don't offer him a drink, what's he going to do? He's going to say, you know, he's not stupid, right? He's going to say, you know, I know why you didn't give me a drink, and he's going to hate you. And it's going to cause more animosity between from and non-from people. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman, adif lachshilo ba'achilo lo bracha, me'asher laharchiko me'atorah, ulachshilo b'sina, lehochim b'derech ha-torah. And lomar, she'over mishum lefne iber, adirabah, yesh kanat sala mimechshol, she'im lo yitnuhu, yavor lisa yosef hamor, right? Here's my choice. Again, I could either offer him a drink or not offer him a drink. If I offer him a drink, he's going to do the avera of eating without a bracha. If I don't offer him a drink, he's going to do the avera of sinna, which is worse. Sinna. So I'm helping him. This isn't lifnei iver. That's the opposite of lifnei iver. In other words, maybe along the lines of the way Rav Moshe read the Mishnah Berurah, when it comes to lifnei iver, we have to think, are we ultimately helping the person or hurting the person? If we're hurting the person, then it's not lifnei iver. But the beauty in the point that Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying is he's saying, even if you held that there's a Bein Adam L'Makom aspect, this would still be true. Because the Bein Adam L'Makom aspect says, you can't facilitate the Aveira. It's true. But either way, I'm facilitating an Aveira. So it makes sense to facilitate the smaller Aveira, not the bigger Aveira, right? That's the argument of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Parenthetically, Rabbi Lamb once told me, he was living in Israel at one point, I think he had a sabbatical or something. Anyway, he had a plumber come over to fix something. And after he was done, he offered him a drink. So the plumber, I guess, figured out he was a rabbi. And he says to Rabbi Lamb, "You're not going to insist that I make a bracha?" So Rabbi Lamb said no. So he said, "Okay, then I'll make a bracha." And he takes out a yarmulke from his back pocket and he puts it on and he makes a bracha. And then he told him, "But if you would have told me to make a bracha, I never would have made a bracha." I don't know. I'm not sure if what that story proves, but I guess it does. It points to an important inyan, which is that people oftentimes don't like being told what to do, and if you're not telling them what to do, then they'll be more willing to do it than if you tell them what to do. Anyhow, back to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So the point that Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying is, of course, we can't promote an activity that's usur. But if our aim is to save them from a bigger aveira, then it's okay. Now, obviously, there's a limit to this. And the point is that even according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I believe he would agree, that you can't directly facilitate an aveira even to save someone from a bigger aveira. Let me give you an example that Rav Moshe discusses. Let's say, can I go ahead and have arrange a mixer of men and women, social mixer with mixed dancing, for Jewish singles? So, and I'm going to make the following argument. Yes, it's true that they're going to be doing averos in my event, but it's going to save them from bigger averos because the alternative is they're going to go to a disco and dance with non-Jews. So maybe we'll say that using the logic of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this would be mutter, maybe even a mitzvah. But I don't think that this is correct. And this is a point that Rav Moshe makes. I don't know that Rav Shlomo Zalman would disagree with this, which is that you can't compare this to the case of giving somebody to drink without a bracha. And the reason why it's totally different is because in one case, you're allowing someone to do an aveira, right? And in another case, you're sanctioning the aveira. In the case of giving them a drink without a bracha, you're allowing them to do an aveira. Or to give a different example, you know, to have a singles event where you put out refreshments and you know people aren't going to make brachos. So that's, and you're doing that to save them from bigger aveiros, right? So fine, that we could say is okay. Because there's no sanctioning of an aveira. But if you go ahead and you make an event, you know, a dancing event, right? Even though your kavana is to save them from bigger aveiros, but you can never sanction an iser thing. You can never be matir an iser, even for the sake of kiruv. That's already in the realm of ziyat ha-Torah. And that is a chilul Hashem and is never permitted. And I think, you know, from what I've seen, you know, all poskim agree to that sentiment and to that distinction. So even if we accept Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's theory, which is that we have to look, you know, at the big picture, right? What's going to bring them closer to Torah mitzvos? And sometimes it's going to be mutter to give them food that they're not going to make a bracha on, because ultimately that's going to bring them closer to Torah mitzvos. And maybe you could apply that to inviting guests who are going to drive for Shabbos. Possible. You could apply Rav Shlomo Zalman's logic to be matir inviting such guests. Possibly. Not obvious, but possible. But you're not going to go ahead and, let's say, permit, you know, open up, you know, let's say a shul parking lot. I don't want to give specific examples, but because they're complicated and there are oftentimes a lot of pratim that go into it. But when it becomes a situation where you are sanctioning a prohibited activity, so then it's a different shaila, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's logic no longer applies. Okay. The next sheet I want to talk about in explaining our sugya is the Sri Deish. This is in Chelak Beis, Simen Tes. It's a long piece. The main point I want to see is in Anaf Beis. And he says a tremendous chiddush to be Miyashiv the Beis Yosef's Kasha, or to defend the Ramah / Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says that there's no Isser of Lufne Iver when you're Mechavein Lasos Mitzvah. He says we could understand Rabbeinu Yonah Kipshuto. Ulfiza Tsarf Lomar Mitzara Svara. Shebimakum Shiyes Lefan of Mitzvah Lasos, and Lehimanim Mitzvah Zu. Afil Bimakum Shiyachal Ligrom Shal Yedeze Yavor Chavero Avera. Shehu Eno Rotza Lahachzik Yedei Ovre Avera, Elokai Mitzvah Sabore. My intention isn't to be Machzik Ovre Avera. My intention is to do a mitzvah. So anytime my intention is to do a mitzvah, there is no Lifnei Iver, there is no Misayaya. Vadrabba. And he says, why? This is again the end of Perek Ches of Brachos, that lo yitain adam prusas l'sham eshalim ken yodea shenat lo yado, and says Rabbeinu Yonah yeshalom mikanshi. In Ra'ui La says, "Elo lemishi yodea boshi varayach minirish kevin shemuskavin lasus mitzvah shenosim tarstaka mutter." Says, "Let's understand Rabbeinu Yonah kapshuta." Rabbeinu Yonah says, "If you're mechavin to do a mitzvah, then it's mutter." That's basically his approach. Again, it's a long tshuva. You should read it. Again, certainly this is against the Magen Avraham Nataz, because Magen Avraham Nataz, as we noted, and the Sri Deish himself notes, both assume that it's only mutter if it's a suffix, not a savadai. But he says it's mutter, even in a vaday. And though he doesn't go as far as the Sri Deish, Rav Sternbach takes a similar approach. In Chelak Aleph of Tshuvos Vanhagos, Simen Shin Nun Ches, he's talking about the question of inviting guests. He's talking a situation where the parents are Mechal Alei Shabbos, inviting them. And he writes that the reason why it's mutter is because if it's for the ruchnius dika benefit of the guests, then that isn't lifnei iver. Now again, it's going further than the Sri Deish. The Sri Deish says it's enough that what you're doing is a mitzvah. And of course you hope that he's going to learn. But the Tshuvos Vanhagos says, nirashi soda iser de lifnei iver hu dumya de iver shemach shilo. Anytime you're doing it for his benefit, to help him out, then it's not lifnei iver. So obviously says, yishtadel kifi kocho limona michil Shabbos. Do whatever you can to prevent chil Shabbos. Avalim ze yafshar. That's impossible. Margashi yish bezet to'elas lachzir mamutav. But you think that by inviting them, it will bring them closer to Torah mitzvahs. And there's no way to avoid the chil Shabbos. Lo yimna me'asozem epnei yisra lifnei iver. Don't fail to invite them due to lifnei iver. Rak, yikarev osam kefi ha'efshar. Rather, what should you do? You should be makarev them to the extent possible. U'smol docha v'yamin me'kareves. Along similar lines, the approach of Rav Yitzchak Berkovitz, as presented in the Sefer, is the following. We have to try to understand the neshama, the essence of the mitzvah of lifnei iver. And it is, don't direct a person in a way that will harm him when he's unaware of the danger. Look out for his best interests. So obviously, in the typical case, his best interest is not going to do an avera. But in a situation where his best interests are to transgress the halacha, then it wouldn't be a violation of lifnei iver. So let's say you have a person, he's on his way to doing tshuva, but he's not ready to spend the whole Shabbos in a Torah observant environment. The only way he's willing to come for a meal is if he drives. So says Rabbi Berkowitz, you could argue in that case, it's okay. It's okay. Not lifnei iver. This is in his best interests. And obviously, this could apply to many kiyur situations. Another tzad to be makel here, this is less pashut, but we should mention it, is to be somech on the position of the Rama, that by chad ibra dinara, there's no iser. Let me explain a little background. This is relates to the Rama in Yerodei Simin Kuf Nun Aleph. The Rama writes, As yesh omrim, hada asa limkor lahem dvarim hashayachim lavodazara, hainu dafka im ein lahem acherim kiyotze bo. Oh, filo yuchlo leknos b'makom acher. When is it asa to sell them things that they might use for vodazara? That's when they have no other means of getting it. Aval miyacholim leknos b'makom acher. If they could get it somewhere else, mutter limkor lahem kol davar. V'yesh machmirim. Rama quotes Machmirim, but he says Rama's position, maybe the at least the view of the Yesh Omrim, is that when we say it's Aser, let's say, to give a Nazir, that's only Tre Ibra Dinara, meaning say he couldn't get the wine any without you. But if it's Chad Ibra Dinara, so he could get it without you, so then it is Mutter. And the Yesh Machmirim say no. There's an issur derabanan, what we sometimes call misayel l'dvaravera. It's not lifnei deraisa, but it's lifnei derabanan or misayel l'dvaravera, even when he could do it without you. That's the view of the Rama. So some say that in kiruv situations, we could be somech on the view of the Rama. And therefore, since you can do this avera without me, there is no shayla of lifnei. That's not pashut, because the pashut says we don't paskin like that Rama, we paskin that even though there's no Isser Deraisa by Chad Ibra Dinara, but there's still an Isser Rabbanan and a Misayel Barbera. However, the Shach argues that it's actually not a Machlokas, and we are matir in Chad Ibra Dinara if we're dealing with the situation of a guy. In other words, there's an Isser of Lifnei Iver with respect to a guy, but that's only when it's Tre Ibra Dinara, when he needs you. But if it's Chad Ibra Dinara, he doesn't need you, then there is no Isser for a guy. And not only that, but even for a Mummer. Even for a Mummer. So we have now potentially two kulos. According to the Rama, it's going to be, the Rama sounds like Mikra Din its Mutter. He writes again, Bal Nefesh Yachmir. But Mikared in its mutter. And one tzad lahakel, Rav Asher Weiss, holds that you could be somech on the Rama, Pemakom Kirov. Or alternatively, if we classify the person as a mummer, then we could be makel based off of the shach. Now, that's not pashut, because we don't generally speaking classify non-firm people as a mummer. We classify them as a tinuk shenishba. But the Dogma Rava, in explaining that shach, says the following, and many poskim accept this Dogma Rava, that any time he's going to be over bemezid, there's also no din of misayaya. Not everybody understands the shach that way. The Avnei Nezer disagrees, but that's an important kula to keep in mind as well. Now, an interesting parenthetical point comes up relating to the discussion we had in the previous year on Tuesday. We pointed out in the previous year that a bracha that you don't believe in isn't even a bracha. That's why Rav Moshe writes, you shouldn't say amen to a bracha of someone who doesn't believe the words that they're saying. So,
Rav Lam's story.
Well, in Rav Lam's story, it's certainly okay. Like somebody who keeps a keep in their back pocket believes what he's saying. He just doesn't like to be told what to do. But
sitting down the kapsas.
You have spent it's that's what happens when he's away from Fort Lee for so long.
He works for a school, so he has to wear a keeper when he comes in.
Come on. Come back to Fort Lee. So Rav Moshe is asked the following shaila here. Again, same tshuva. This is an osvav. He says, look, so you sit, you read the siman in Shulchan Aruch, and you say, okay, so I'm going to ask the person to make a bracha, right? Because you can't give food to a person who's not going to make a bracha. So you ask him to make a bracha. So he's going to listen to you. He's going to make the bracha. But does he believe in the bracha? No. So you haven't even asked him to make a bracha. He still hasn't made a bracha. Shine, even asking him to make a bracha, he hasn't made a bracha. That's Rav Moshe's question. So he says, yeah. But you never know. Maybe when he says the bracha, he believes what he says. Fine. Okay. There's much, much, much more to say on this topic, but I want to do, at the very least, let's do Simon Kuf Ayin today.
Could I ask a brief question on this?
Yes.
Okay. Could it be the difference between giving the ani and giving a regular guest? The ani might be any later, so it's more of grama rather than a direct.
Yes. You could make such a chaluk.
And also, in terms of bracha krona, then that's an ibitul nasei, whereas eating food without a bracha is an isur.
Maybe.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so Simen Kuf Ayin has a lot of halachos about manners and Derech Eretz during a Suda, and we're going to talk about some of them, and then we'll, I think, halacha and hashkafa are both relevant to this Simen. So first let's talk about a halachic issue, which is Ein Mesichin B'Suda. You're not allowed to talk during the meal. What's the reason? So the reason is because of danger. Shema Yaktim Kan Leveshet. This comes up several places in Shas. In Tainis, Daf Hey Amid Beis, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Kavu Yasi B'Sudasa. Armele Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Lema Mar Milsa. No, say something, presumably Advar Torah. Armele, Hachim Rav Yochanan, Ein Mesichim B'Suda. Shema Yaktim Kan Leveshet, Yavlu Deis HaKanam. First of all, he did say Halacha, right? But anyway, the point is we see that this idea that you're not allowed to talk while eating is because of Sakana. So from the Lashon of Suda, maybe you'll say that the whole meal you're not allowed to speak, even Bein Tavshil LeTavshil. And that's what the Prisha writes, that it sounds like it's the whole meal. But the Mishnah Berurah over here, Sifkatan Aleph Paskins, no, Bein Tavshil LeTavshil is Mutter, like the Elia Rabba says. Lashon of Elia Rabba is Dekai Malang Sheomer Savri Poter. Then came Hachanami Vade Demutter Bein Tavshil LeTavshil. What's he referring to? Another Gemara that we saw at Brachos Daf Mem Beis Mid Aleph on the base. The Mishnah says that if you bring out wine in the middle of the meal, so everybody makes their own Bar Pir Gafin. Instead of what would normally would prefer is that one person make the Bar Pir Gafin for everybody. So what's the reason? Ha'il the Ein Beis Habliya Panui. So what's the reason for that? So Rashi says it relates to not being able to focus on the bracha. But the Rush writes that this too is because of Sakana issues, Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet. And he bases this off of the Yerushalmi. Fine. But at least some Rishonim hold that if that issue is solved by, let's say, saying Savri, and now everybody swallows and the like, then it's okay. So says the Prisha. Well, if Savri works, so too, you see that this isn't a rule that's stated across the boards, that throughout the meal it's usur. It's only where the risk is relevant. And therefore, says the Elia Rabba, between courses, it's going to be mutter. Now, the big question about this halacha is, does it apply nowadays? I'm sure we've all seen G'day Le'ilam who talk during a meal. So how could they violate this halacha? So the Prisha suggests an answer. Sifkat and Aleph. The Prisha says maybe this whole concern was because of the way they ate. They ate behasebal tzad smol, and therefore the veshet is on top, and there's a concern you're going to choke if you talk. There's a concern you'll choke even if you don't talk, but certainly if you start talking and leaning, fine. But maybe it doesn't apply nowadays. Why? Because we sit. And he writes, Mishum hachi lo reisin isharin. Right? Already since the time of the Sma, nobody has been makbid about this. But he's a little hesitant to paskin this, because chiluk zeh lo matzasi b'shem makom. To put it a little differently, the Shulchan Aruch already wrote that we don't recline anymore. We sit, right? We saw the Shulchan Aruch paskin that halacha. And at the same time, the Shulchan Aruch also paskins this din that you may not talk while eating. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to learn like the Prisha's chiluk. Shulchan Aruch felt that this halacha is still relevant nowadays, even though we don't do a seba. So that's why the Prisha is a little bit hesitant about this point. Prima Gada makes a similar point. The Birkei Yosef puts it very strongly. The Birkei Yosef writes over here, he talks about it twice actually, first in Din Aleph and then in the Kuntres Achron. In Din Aleph, he writes that this is something that bothered him his whole life. Kol yamai nitzta'arti al zeh, dechazinan l'rabbanan k'shishai lo zehiri b'zeh. It was eating me up. Ad shematza Prisha. Prisha solved the problem. So says the Birkei Yosef, chaps and afgamina. You're not allowed to talk at the Seder. Okay, well, maybe when you're eating matzah anyway, you're not going to be talking. But during the meal, chatchila, you should do a seba. So make sure if you're doing a seba at the Seder, make sure you're not talking at the same time. In the Kuntres Achron, though, he's a little more hesitant about this. He says, well, I said shver, because the poskim don't say this, including the Beis Yosef. The Aruch HaShulchan is also very troubled by this fact that nobody seems to observe this halacha. He says, maybe it's mutter because it's Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah are an exception. He says, that's not a good answer, because the Gemara that we started off in Tainis is even relevant for Divrei Torah. So maybe he'll say it's only because it's one word. Okay, people, just a little bit. He says that's not a good answer either, because we see from the fact that the Rush applies this to saying Amen, that even one word is dangerous. So having rejected all the options that to be Miyashev, and don't say the Prisha's answer, because the Poskim don't say that. So he says, what are we going to do? We have to come on to the fact of Shomer Psayim Hashem, Kevin Didashu Be Rabim, Shomer Psayim Hashem. Okay.
Yep.
I'll just mention one last point, and then I'll take a question. You might ask the following Shaila. This brings up to our next topic, which we'll have to begin with next time. The halacha, they have to say Divrei Torah at a Suda, the Mishnah and Perkei Avos. But on that Mishnah, which we'll begin with next time, Avos, Perkei Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, the Yachin Rawaz asks the following Shaila. He says, how could you say Divrei Torah at the table? It's Aser to speak. So he writes, Lo nakat she'ochlen, the b'shasa suda Aser ledaber. Rak she'yoshvim achar she'ochlu chayiv b'divrei Torah. So everybody's going to have to agree that at least after the meal's over, you're allowed to speak, because we know you're fine to say Divrei Torah. Okay, if anybody has to go to Mincha, go. And otherwise, I can take your question. And Bezos Hashem will pick up Sunday. Sunday, we'll finish Simon Kuf Ayin. And I think we'll turn to Kuf. We're going to turn to, I think we'll mostly focus on Bezos Hashem. Well, we'll do
Atov Ameitiv.
Yeah, we'll do Kuf Ayin Hay. We'll do Atov Ameitiv. And then we're going to, and then we'll turn to Shinui Makom.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, Moshe.
I there's not a question, it's more of a comment, which would put a whole different light on the Easter. I remember correctly, Chaim Ashkenazi mentioned, I don't remember whose name he mentioned this, that he points out that Masichin is Hifil. So the Easter is on causing someone else to speak, not on you. Because you, when you're speaking yourself, you can swallow your food first and then speak. And that would also explain why we taste the same Savri. Because you're speaking, the one who says Savri, he's speaking without having said a Savri before the Savri, right? So, but he's the one who's speaking, so he knows when he's going to do. So by saying Savri, so gives the other people a chance to swallow what's in their mouth, so he's not causing them to speak. Anyway, so
beautiful.
That was
so now you connected to parts of our shir because that's both Lifnei Iver and this. I said you connected the two parts of our shir today because Lifnei Iver as well as this halacha relate to not causing other people to mess up, to harm themselves. Shkayach.
Okay. Off the topic of the shir altogether, I was learning with a chavrusa of mine in the Rambam Hilchos Truma.